Elaine, it seems that for a long time, there were some generally agreed upon etiquette rules about who to tip and how much. And there was some comfort in that. But now it seems way more confusing. Do you think that the rules around tipping are shifting?
I believe the rules around tipping are trying to shift in terms of where folks are told they are supposed to tip. And much of that is not true. I think tipping culture has changed quite a bit, most especially after the pandemic. And so it is my desire to really help people hone in on the actual guidelines and rules for tipping in today's society.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that if you think the pandemic changed things.
I do. I think I believe the pandemic had changed things because what happened is we recognized that folks in the service industry were really the ones doing the heavy lifting during that time frame. And so folks were at home and they recognized that people were really literally risking their lives, whether it was for delivery, for food or home goods or what have you. And so naturally, individuals tipped in unexpected areas. They tipped more than they normally would. And I think that was good for that particular time. I think that was the benevolent thing to do. Well, now that we're outside of the pandemic and kind of back in the real world, this is where I think it's important for us to recognize when to tip, how much to tip, and who to tip.
So let's get into that. Let's start with the basics. Sit-down restaurants. When I was growing up, 15 to 20%. What do you say?
It still is the fact. Now, here's the thing. 15% is now kind of at your average to below average, right? And 20% tends to skew on the average to above average point. So folks will oftentimes go to a sit-down restaurant now and land on that 20% if they had a pretty decent service. So what I want folks to understand is that a 15% tip is still acceptable, absolutely acceptable. And so you do not have to go to that 20%. 15% is your starting point, I would say.
About restaurants that aren't sit-down restaurants, but maybe aren't quite fast food. I'm thinking Five Guys or Panera, these chain restaurants where when you look down at that credit card swipe, there is a tip being suggested.
Here is my guideline for tipping in that particular environment. If you are sitting when you are being served your meal, then a tip is required. If you are standing when you are served your meal, a tip is not required. That's it. So the reason why I say this is because, especially here in the United States, tipping restaurant servers is part of the standard of these individuals receiving their basic pay. This is how these folks are paid. They don't receive a standard salary. Their salary is the tip. Now, when you're looking at folks who are standing behind a counter and serving you, they are earning an hourly wage. So the tip would be above and beyond the service that you're receiving. So you're not required to tip in that instance. It's welcome. If the service is excellent, above average, let's say, for example, you have a large order, or perhaps you have a complicated order, or the server just really went above and beyond for you that day. You're a regular there and they remember your order, just something where they go above and beyond, then that's when a tip is acceptable. But I want folks to know that it is not required.
What would you say about people feeling guilty about not tipping in those situations or not tipping enough?
My recommendation is to push past that societal pressure and hit that big giant no tip red button, pay for your service, and keep it stepping. And here's what's happening in this instance. You have two things that are happening in this particular instance here. Number one, the proprietor of the restaurant is offering their employees a perk. And the perk is, I'm going to pay you your average salary and you get to earn tips. But they're putting that perk on the back of the consumers, on the backs of consumers. The second thing that's happening is that electronic device that's being used to calculate the service and the tip and so on and so forth, there's a service fee that's involved. And the company behind that receives more money based upon the amount of the service. So that organization is winning because the ticket in that particular instance is higher. So the company, the proprietor, is winning because they can provide this perk. The service company is winning because they're charging a higher fee. And it's all going on the backs of the consumers. And so that's why I say stand there flat-footed, confident, and recognize that I do not have to tip in this instance. It's not required. I will do so if I feel as though the service warrants it.
So interesting. It leads to another question I was going to ask you. Elaine, growing up, my father, even if he put the meal on the credit card, always tipped in cash. And part of the reason is he wasn't 100% certain that the manager of the restaurant would pass along a tip to the server. And he wanted to make sure that that server got the tip. Do you recommend that?
Oh, I highly recommend that. Your father was most certainly before his time. I love this notion. And the reason why is because again, the tip itself should go to that server. And so if you want to be absolutely sure that it will, those funds will go directly to the server, and then they can distribute that behind the scenes. For example, in a restaurant, the servers, a general practice is to split it with the bussers and the hostess and maitre d' and so on, or however they do it, right? But at least you're placing the funds, the money in that person's hand, and they can make those distributions themselves. And you know it's going to that person and not to the restaurant. I
All
love
right,
that.
I was going to ask you
Yeah.
about coffee shops, bakeries, takeout dinner places, but those are your rule. You are being served while you are standing. So, how about this though? Hotel staff. I know a young woman who worked as a cleaning person in a hotel, a very nice hotel here in Maine, and she was shocked by how many people did not leave a tip.
Yeah, there are a lot of travelers who are not aware of the fact that you should tip when you're traveling, and this includes the hotel workers. And so, of course, that's my job is to spread the word as much as I can to let folks know that as you're putting together your tip money for your travel, you should include the hotel workers, the folks who are cleaning your rooms on a regular basis. And so, the tip can be anywhere from $3 to $5 for each night of your stay. Now, my recommendation is to find out if the same person is going to be taking care of your room for your entire stay. You can always just ask at the front desk, or you can ask when you see the cleaning person, "Hey, are you here for the next few days?" And this way it'll let you know whether or not you should leave your tip daily or just at the end of your stay.
All right. And obviously a bellhop as well, but not a front desk person, right?
Not the front desk person, but another person that is on the ground floor that you can tip is the concierge. And so this is the individual who helps you to get movie tickets or give you recommendations as far as restaurants in the area or attractions in the area. They are there. And so it is customary to tip the concierge.
How about hairdresser, nail salon, that kind of thing?
Yeah, so hairdressers and nail salons, it's a customary practice to tip in this environment. And so this is where you should utilize the percentage rate or either a flat dollar rate, depending on the service that you've received. So 10% is a good amount to tip in this particular area if you feel as though the service was satisfactory. It's customary, it is not required. There are some instances where, hey, your budget might be tight. And you may not be able to tip in that particular instance. So you pay for your service, but it is a custom to tip.
I see. And what about, we're coming up on the holidays, and you have a regular nail salon tech or a regular hairdresser.
For the holiday season, I have a list of folks that help you throughout the entire year that you should give an extra tip at the end of the year just to say thank you. So there's a couple of guidelines around that. Number one, make sure that it's noted that this is their holiday gift, if you will. So include that tip in an envelope if you're tipping with cash, or send it separately if you're doing electronically, or note that in your electronic payment. If you're going above and beyond and you just do one transaction, note that this includes your holiday tip of whatever amount. And so when I say this, you should look at folks who really helped you. You have a really great life throughout the year. This includes your nail technician, your hairstylist, a dog walker, your gardener, your pool attendant, just anyone who really helped make your life better throughout the year.
All right. So I've got a whole bunch that are kind of related. The delivery person for a large item. I'm not talking about the person who's dropping off an Amazon order or a book, but has delivers maybe some furniture.
Oh, yes. Yeah. For furniture delivery folks, yeah, you definitely want to tip them depending on what region of the country you're in. Anywhere from $10 to $20 per person is sufficient.
Okay. And then what about professional services? You're having an appliance installed, a plumber, an electrician, a handyman, a window washer, a painter, something like that.
Typically, we do not tip individuals in for professional services. This would include your plumber, someone who's f fixing your appliances or things like that. So a tip is generally not included. These folks are contracted by a company, and so a tip is not required in that particular instance.
All right. And then a question from our producer. What about the AAA jumpstart guy?
Oh, you know, this is the thing we want to think about with the AAA Jumpstart guy. What we have to think about is the fact that these folks are employed. They are being paid an hourly wage, and employers would frown against tipping because they really don't want to put their staff members in danger with folks thinking that they're carrying around wads of cash. And so you don't have to tip that person that comes to help you with your vehicle.
I want to go back to something you were talking about before and tipping in cash. So many people don't carry cash, and there are all sorts of different ways to tip now. You have Venmo. I was at a hotel where they had a system where you could scan a QR code and your tip would go right to the person who cleaned your room. What do you think about all these new ways to tip?
I think with the new forms of tipping electronically, I think it's a great idea. The folks who are receiving the tip, they can certainly appreciate it, and I'm sure they'll share with you that they tend to be tipped more often because the money can be transferred electronically. Of course, cash is always great, but with the new forms of electronic transfer of money, I think it's a great asset for us to have.
Do you have some general advice, Elaine, about how to think about tipping when you aren't sure? Or are there some questions you can ask yourself?
The standard or guideline for tipping that an individual can use is to think about its origin. And the origin of tipping comes from the acronym to improve prompt service. And what happened is in the very early days when folks were taking tea in the Victorian gardens, the folks would bring hot water from the house out to the garden. And individuals found that the water would be lukewarm by the time they got there. So they set out a tin can and would put coins in the can. On the outside of that, they wrote to improve prompt service. And so when those coins went in the can, that meant that this person was going to get their hot water first and it wouldn't be served lukewarm. So when you think about the service and everything around it with tipping, use that as a guideline. How was my service? Was it standard? Was it above average? Was it excellent? Was it poor service? And when you look at it from this perspective, then that can indicate whether or not you should leave a tip. Tipping is acceptable in any circumstance that you've deemed necessary, except, as I mentioned, you know, we don't want to put folks in danger. But utilizing that as a guideline in terms of the level of service that you receive, that can help you set your own standard for tipping.
Interesting. And when you said it's always acceptable, I think that's really important advice because somebody might give a tip and then think, oh, did that person think that I somehow was insinuating something by that? You know, I think people can really get wrapped up in their heads about tipping and what it can mean.
Yeah, I think when folks are not allowed to be tipped, they'll let you know, oh no, sir, I'm not allowed to take tips, just like that. So, you know, of course, don't tip your attorney, don't tip, you know, professional serve your accountant and things like that. They'll let you know, nope, don't, there's no tips involved. So folks will let you know when they're not allowed to take tips, and then the ones who do, we'll accept it. Some will do so sheepishly, and some will do so graciously.
All right. Well, before we let you go, I have to ask you about traveling outside of the US. Do other cultures and countries have these same ideas about tipping, or is this really an American thing, all this confusion?
Everything I've shared about tipping today really is an American thing. When you travel outside to other countries, you'll find that there are some instances where tipping is not welcomed at all. So I advise listeners who are going to travel outside of the country to do a little bit of research to determine whether or not it is acceptable in that environment.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure.
Elaine Swan is the founder of the Swan School of Protocol. Her latest book is titled Let Crazy Be Crazy.